Welcome to Local Bitcoiners, a podcast about Bitcoin meetups. In this episode, Reed and Rev talk with Sean from the Niagara Bitcoin Meetup in Ontario, Canada.
Hey, Local Bitcoiners, we're back. Rev Hodel here. I'm back again with my co-host, Reed. And tonight we have Sean from the Niagara Falls Bitcoin Meetup. And before we get talking to Sean, we're going to do the normal thing. I'm going to share not necessarily a Bitcoin meetup adventure tonight, but something that's about to happen that I've been very excited about and have been kind of biting my tongue to share anything about it. But the guys in the Southwest Michigan, South Bend, Indiana, Grand Rapids, like a bunch of us from the Michigan meetups have been kind of kicking around this idea that we're calling Bitcoin Community College. And this relates to kind of how do you make your meetup more of a community asset. And so in the past, we've done workshops, like we did a welding workshop where we went over to some guy's shop and he had a welding instructor there, and we all got a chance to lay down a bunch of welds and learned how to weld in a few different methods. And it was really cool. And there's other examples of that, but basically the point was, is like, man, we doing these workshops and stuff, getting these hands-on skills is pretty cool. And so what if we kind of coordinated this at a larger scale, not just for one local meetup, but made this workshop style event available to the broader meetup culture. And so we're doing the kind of the test run of it this weekend out a couple of like 2.5 hours away from me. But we're going to be spending the night over there and working with some firearms, doing some permaculture design overviews, some potential animal processing. We'll see if we can get that lined up. But just these hands-on type skills, Bitcoiners just getting together and really sharing what they know with each other. And so we're calling that Bitcoin Community College. And by the next recording, I'll hopefully have a story of how that went. But I'm super excited to try this out and to see if it makes sense to do more of these as time goes on. Reed, how about you? What you been up to?
Man, that sounds awesome. I had never even, you know, most of the time I feel like with the Bitcoin meetups, right, we get, when you think workshops or you think Bitcoin Community College, you think, oh, we're going to be setting up a cold card, or we're going to be, you know, stamping our seed phrases into metal, or, you know, doing some sort of Bitcoiner only skill. But obviously, there's all these tangential skills that are just so important to have if you want to really be self-sovereign, right? And that's really what, because that's what the Bitcoin community is all about. So that sounds really cool. I can't wait to hear how that goes. So for me, so our next meetup, you know, we're still looking out here at May 17th, 6 o'clock, Heavy Culture Cooperative in East Hampton. That'll be our next meetup. And I don't have too much to add since we just recorded last Friday. So this is the closest recordings we've had together before. However, I did have a chance. So I mentioned on the last episode how I was thinking about kind of retooling our website to get a little bit more Noster integrated and to be able to have that be our platform to allow our community members to be posting stuff for sale. And so that way we can all kind of see what everybody has. And I was going to kind of like whitelist everybody so I know whose stuff is going to be listed for sale on the site. And so Augie reached out to me, Augie from KC Bitcoiners, who was on the show in episode 5. And, we've stayed in touch with, obviously. He reached out to me and was like, hey, you know, I talked about on the episode this Bodark tool. And it's really what it is it's a way to take, you know, the KC Bitcoiners website and, you know, fork it and start porting it over. And they're trying to make the process easier and easier for other meetups. But the real thing that's changed that kind of got me going is they've added a whole bunch of new features. And a lot of the features that they've added are the exact ones that I've been talking about. So I think that's going to be the new plan. The new plan is I'm going to try out the Bodark tool and fork it and be able to provide feedback to them and be, you know, not, I don't think I wouldn't be like the first guinea pig. I think that they've helped a few other meetups get set up on it. But, you know, if there's feedback to the process, hopefully I can provide that. And then hopefully I'll get a better meetup website out the other side that I don't have to go and really do a lot of restructuring myself. So yeah, I think that's going to be the plan, and looking forward to it. So another shout out to Augie and to the KC Bitcoiners. I think that's going to be a good addition for us in Western Mass. So Sean, welcome to the show. I'd love to turn it over to you and just hear a little bit about your meetup, of course, and then, you know, your background and anything else you want to share to get us started.
Sure. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me here. I'm excited to talk about Bitcoin and, of course, Bitcoin meetups. As you mentioned, I've run the Niagara Bitcoin meetup based in the Niagara region of Ontario. So specifically, we do meet currently, or we mostly have been meeting in Niagara Falls, but not exclusively. So Niagara being sort of the region that we live in, sort of like how you have the Western Mass. Maybe that's a sort of a general region in Massachusetts. Niagara is the peninsula right here across the border from the Buffalo and Niagara Falls, New York side of things. We've been meeting since November of 2022, was our very first meetup. And we meet on the third Wednesday of the month, usually, right? So based on my schedule, sometimes it's the fourth meetup, and every once in a while it's the fourth Wednesday, and sometimes it's the second. But we try to stick to the third Wednesday of the month, and we throw in a couple of bonuses here and there from time to time. So we've been having a lot of fun. Talking Bitcoin, learning things, doing a bunch of mostly social meetups, but also some in some other formats as well. Basically got started because I went to a different meetup, right? I had never really heard of meetups before. And then during the pandemic, I don't know how various degrees of lockdown you guys had where you guys live, but here in Ontario, the lockdown was a little bit longer and maybe a little more extreme than other parts of North America. At some point, I'm pretty sure 2021, there was a meetup held in Hamilton, which is not too far from me. It's sort of between us and Toronto. It's a city. It's about an hour drive for me. And it was a meetup at Tahini's. I don't know how familiar you guys are with Tahini's. It's a Canadian business. A great Bitcoiner who runs that company. And they had a meetup there and at a Hamilton Tahini's. And I'd never been to a Bitcoin meetup before. So me and a friend, we just drove on down. And at the time, pretty sure there was still like a mandate you had to wear face masks. But we went in there and there wasn't a single Bitcoiner wearing face masks. Just every once in a while, there was a like regular person trying to get a shawarma. They would walk in and I think they'd be like completely stunned that there's, I'm going to say 40 to probably 50. 50 guys and girls in there talking Bitcoin. Ali, the owner, he was serving brisket. All the food was covered by Tahini's. It was just a great time, right? So obviously I had a great time there. I got to meet new people, talk Bitcoin, and that was sort of planted the seed, I guess. The meetups are cool. They actually had another meetup. I'm not sure how much later than that, but it was at a different Tahini's. That one was in London. And that one, you may have seen coverage of this, but that was the meetup or the event where one of our candidates for prime minister came and he paid for his shawarma with Bitcoin. So that was cool. I got to be there for that. Of course, had a good time at that meetup as well. I wish there was a more regular meetup that I could go to, right? As you might expect. Somewhere in between there, you guys familiar with Bull Bitcoin? I would imagine so. Bull Bitcoin, greatest exchange in the world. And so they actually have a referral or like an affiliate program called Bitcoin Missionaries. And I became one of those. And we would have like conference calls, different people. We would get on a call with Francis, with other members of the team. And they would just just tell us what's coming up new, talk about new products or new things coming on. And one of the things they said during one of these calls was, if you guys are thinking about starting a meetup, do it, and you know we'll help you, right? We'll give you you know support to start it off, whatever you need, things like that. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. And around that time as well, there was another fellow in this area, right, in Niagara, and I somehow got I had been doing some like Bitcoin 101 type educationals just because I'm super passionate about Bitcoin and I like teaching, so. Like even during the pandemic, when like gathering in groups of more than 10 was completely illegal, I guess we would have met like in an underground, not literally underground, but at a movie theater. We were just in there and had a packed house, 40 plus people learning about Bitcoin. And looking back, of course, I can't believe I was teaching stuff when I really didn't know anything other than Bitcoin was great and it had a limited supply and this is how you get it. But another guy reached out and he said, well, I'm doing like a lesson. And I said, well, that's cool because I do the same ideas. And he's like, why don't we maybe do a meetup, basically? I kind of floated the idea of meetup between the two of us. He's like, yeah, let's do it. Let's make this happen. So between him and I, we picked a location in Niagara Falls. Again, picking Niagara Falls because it has a good location close to the border. If people wanted to come over, right on the main highway, if people wanted to come from Toronto, Hamilton, St. Catharines, basically easy to get to. Sort of a destination if people wanted to come to Niagara Falls and, you know, check out Niagara Falls and then come to a meetup, they could. Stuff to do for everyone. And yeah, so we made our first meetup happen, I think early November of 2022. We had like 25 people there. It was fantastic. During that very first meetup I talked about, I met D from CoinKite. He came down, brought a cold card to give away. So maybe that pulled some people out. Turned out that there was actually another meetup that already kind of existed in the Niagara region that I had no idea about. I kind of didn't do a ton of research. And so a lot of those guys came out as well. So, turns out many of them are sort of crypto focused a little bit more than I wanted to be, but it was still great to have them there. Some of them still come out to this day to our meetup as well. And both those meetups still run in different locations, different cities, but they are still both happening. So yeah, that's, and then we started out with that meetup. Then December was after that. So I didn't run a meetup in December. I'm like, well, it's Christmas time. Maybe people won't come. The next January, during that meetup, somebody had said, well, I wish it was like just a social hangout, right? Like many of our meetups might be. And the lady was there. It was obviously her first time. She didn't know a ton about Bitcoin. And she said, well, I wish that this was more like there was more of a chance to learn. So what I did was in Niagara Falls, friends of mine have a church there. He's a pastor of a church. And I basically got the use of their church basement. And that was our meetup format for the next little bit. Starting in January 2023, we had like a little lesson for about an hour, a bit. I would kind of prepare something. We'd talk about that, ask questions, whatever. And then it just so happens that right across the street from that church was a bar restaurant. And then we'd go over and hang out. Anybody who wanted to could go across over there and hang out. So we did that for like 7 or 8 months. And then one day... I asked people, what do you want to learn about? We kind of covered all those topics. And then one time there was like only three people total that showed up. And we were talking about Lightning or something. And I'm like, well, maybe we want to change this format up a little bit. I'm kind of doing a lot of work to only get two or three people out. And then I think the very next meetup, there was a better attendance, but we went to go across to that bar and it was about 8:30 and we walk in and they're like, actually guys, we close at 9 now. And we're like, oh, well, this is no good. Right. And one of the guys happened to know, well, up the street, there's a different location. We went up there and we hung out. We had a great time. And that's sort of was our location. That was, it's called the Usual Suspects now. That's where we've been meeting. We met there for I don't know, almost a year after that. Just turned it kind of into more of a hangout, social Bitcoin meetup. We still would have teaching and learning opportunities, I guess, answering questions one-on-one. Yeah, I don't know how much farther you want to go on the story of the whole thing, or if you got any questions from there. But
yeah, no, that's awesome. I love hearing stories, and you know, one of the first things, you know, because you said you started November 22, right? Is that what you said? Yeah, that was 2022 was like the year of the Bitcoin meetup. Like, that's when my meetup started, like a month before yours. Like we started September, October, or something like that, 2022. Yeah, so there was something about, I feel like part of it was a magical time for meetups too, because we were all cut, like, you know, even if it was a little different here in America, let's say, you know, we were all coming out of that terrible kind of period of time and everybody was just looking to get out and get together and to do stuff like that. And we'd all been kind of trapped inside learning about Bitcoin. And I don't know, I've always said, you know, I feel like the government really overplayed their hand on that one. You know what I mean? Like it just like how many Bitcoiners are class of 2020 Bitcoiners? You know, it's just a magical time for people to kind of wake up and realize that, you know, the state is not on your side here. And this, you know, this is not, you're not necessarily in a system where you have people who are, who really have, you know, your best needs in mind when they're trying to lay down these rules and stuff. So, yeah, it's just, you know, maybe that was part of it, but yeah, I'm glad to hear that Bitcoin meetups, it seems to me like they're finally starting to make a little bit of a comeback, but yeah, that was definitely prime time for Bitcoin meetups back then.
So in episode 3, we had on Boomer. I'm not sure if you know Boomer. He does the Ottawa meetup. And he mentioned that kind of right around the time that he was getting his started, this was also when those Canadian trucker protests were happening. Now, does that, I don't know if that, I can't remember when it was, if it was in 2022 or, but it sounds like these meetups that you were going to, there was all of these rules and restrictions going on. And like Reed was saying, like, there was a little bit of like selective non-compliance going on, where it's like, dude, this mask stuff is ridiculous and we're going to get together whether you want us to or not. And so I'm curious if that was taking place before the protests or if that came to pass afterwards. But it, what I'm getting at here is it just sounded like there was something going on in Canada where people are like, we've had enough. And the Bitcoiners especially were just like, dude, we got to do something here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm pretty sure both the meetups that I first ones were sort of after that. I feel like there was still a mask mandate for the very first one. And that was probably right around the tail end of the same time after the truckers protest, things had kind of happened. And then sort of that was the catalyst to bringing the end to some of those things. And while I think we were technically violating rules by not wearing our masks to that first one, and I, you know, I could be wrong. It's been a long time. If anyone wants to correct me in the comments and say, actually, you know, most people still wore masks, but we weren't supposed to. I really think we were, though, because I remember people being pretty shocked that we were in there with no masks. But yeah, I think that was sort of just right after that, when pretty much everybody was sort of finished with it, but they wasn't officially, the government wasn't finished with it just then. Definitely the second one, though, after that, it was, everything had been gone. Right. That was, there was nothing on underground about the other things later on about from those meetups. Although, you know, hopefully there were some meetups that did continue happening illegally in Canada during the time. I'm not sure. As far as the Ottawa, I don't know Boomer super well or at all. I don't think we might have met at a Canadian Bitcoin conference briefly. But I will tell you that like sort of the Ottawa Bitcoin meetup Twitter page and maybe even their meetup page, I'm pretty sure I just liberally copied. Or like, you know, just cut and paste and then change some things, right? I very much used their format and made that into what I did for when I made the, when I started the meetup up, made a meetup.com and made a Twitter page particularly. I was definitely taking a look at Ottawa because I knew that they were a successful meetup that was happening. So I used theirs. So thanks, Boomer.
Now, another thing you were kind of talking about was the sort of, it sounded like at the beginning when you got the meetup going, there was a lot of enthusiasm and like, because you had kind of been cross-pollinating maybe, and you had made some connections, this sort of brought the initial wave of people through. But then if I'm understanding it correctly, as you got more into the educational component and were trying to find a home and everything, the attendance dwindled down. And it sounded like maybe that was a little discouraging, but at this point, have you kind of come back, swung back the other way, and you've got like a good group of regulars now, and how is it going as far as the meetup today?
Yeah, in terms of attendance wise, definitely. Yeah, early on with the educationals, I think it was a mixture of, you know, we were coming into the summertime, right? So starting in the winter, coming into the summer, people just have, you know, you got long summer evenings here, right? And people want to do stuff. If it's a nice day, do they really want to go indoors to a church basement and learn about Bitcoin? Especially if they're already been, like some of the guys who are coming to the meetup had been Bitcoiners longer than me, right? So maybe they're not like, well, you know, I don't really need to know the basics of you know, self-custody, right? The people who came, I think, got a lot out of it. And I'm glad we did those for sure. But I think that affected the attendance a little bit. Nowadays, absolutely, we have, much more steadily, we'll have it like 9 or 10. It's kind of like the minimum now. As the, you know, sort of like now the nicer weather kind of brings more people out because we can, you know, they don't have to drive through a snowstorm or whatever to get to out to Niagara Falls or whatever. So yeah, we, like last meetup, I think we had 13, but we kind of go up to like 15, 16. At some of our special or bigger events that we've done, we've had as many as like over 30, almost 40 different stuff, but we definitely have a group of regulars who are like, some of them from the very, who've been coming out since day one, some of whom have sort of just picked up over the years. And we, it feels like we almost always have somebody new showing up as well. One or two new people. Last meetup, we had two or three guys that hadn't been out in like 6 months and they're back. So no, we've got a pretty solid group of people here. Other, unless it's an actual snowstorm, which has happened, and then it was just me and two other guys, I'm not too worried we're going to have a group. And the thing is, now I don't worry. I wouldn't even be worried about attendance, right? When we're doing a social hangout, if as long as one other person shows up, I'm having a good time. It's still a meetup, right? Like, you know, if it's just, if it's 12 people, I can't really talk to 12 people in the course of 2 hours, right? Three people, you can. So it's just a different meetup. It's not worse, right? You get a chance to get to know somebody better or go more in depth on topics that people are interested in.
Cool. So one of the things, I mentioned this a little bit before we started recording, but I happened to catch a little bit of your backstory. But before we get into, I sort of would like to give you the opportunity to share a little bit about your experience about how you found Bitcoin. But before we do, I think I had heard also that you did a little bit of maybe I'm not going to know the right term here, like financial planning stuff or like financial education stuff, but like outside of Bitcoin, just like regular, like how do you get yourself out of credit card debt? That type of.
So yeah, good research, right, on that one. That was a while ago. I'm not sure how big Dave Ramsey is in your part, neck of the woods, but I'm sure many Americans are familiar with, and you know, everybody might be familiar with Dave Ramsey and his concepts of getting out of debt. And being anti-Bitcoin, sort of anti a lot of things that maybe we would be fans of. But back in the, I went down to Tennessee to do his training course. I became a Dave Ramsey certified financial coach. I worked with a buddy of mine who lived over just over the border. I did a little radio. He had a radio program on. We did a little radio with that. And then I did do financial coaching. Just help people out and sort of the side hustle. It never was my main job. But just from a Dave Ramsey perspective, right, how to get out of debt. So Dave's got those seven baby steps, which, you know, to this day, I will still say that the first three baby steps are great, right? You want to stop overspending, you know, get yourself an emergency fund, start getting yourself out of debt, right? And even for somebody who's, you know, wants to be into Bitcoin, you probably shouldn't be buying a ton of Bitcoin if you're also going more into debt each and every month. If you can't pay your bills, probably not, shouldn't be buying Bitcoin. So that's why it's even more important to get yourself on a good financial footing, because otherwise you're not going to be able to get nearly as much Bitcoin as you otherwise would, right? Now, of course, once you get stabilized, should you go into debt to buy Bitcoin? That's a whole other story, right? Dave Ramsey would say certainly not, but maybe I would disagree with him these days. I definitely do disagree with him a little more than I ever used to, but for certain people at certain times, he does a great job of bringing a good message and a message of hope that people do need. And that, of course, I think Bitcoin is hope as well to a lot of people, right? So it kind of does tie together, even if Dave Ramsey is pretty anti-Bitcoin.
Yeah, so the reason why I wanted to bring that up is because, so I actually had floated that to some of the guys in our meetup. So we have kind of a lot of Bitcoin beginners and stuff like that. But I was trying to think of how do we get more people in, but like also how do we reach out like into the community? And so at the time we were discussing like, should we think about starting a 501(c)? If we did, what kinds of things would we do? And I thought that that would kind of be a great like thing for us to try to offer to the community. It's just like, hey, free, you know, what'd you call it? Financial coaching, where it's just like, look, we're not here to show you Bitcoin. Like, we just want you to get into a better place financially. Like if you're underwater and you can't, like, you feel like you're, you know, you literally don't know what you're going to do month over month, it's just a terrible place to be in. Mm-hmm. And so if we could say basically just at the end, hey, by the way, this was brought to you by, you know, the Western Mass Bitcoin meetup or whatever, and then it's just kind of like puts that seed in people's head where it's like, oh, like, we didn't talk about Bitcoin at all, you were just trying to help, like, to teach me about like personal finance and stuff like that. So we, you know, it's not something we ever pulled the trigger on. We, you know, we haven't actually done that, but it was an idea. I still like the idea. I'm not exactly sure how we would pull that off or if we would need some sort of credentials or something to do that. But I don't know. It just seems like you were saying, like a logical kind of crossover.
Yeah. I will say, I don't think you need, I'm pretty confident you don't need any kind of credentials to say, make a budget, stick to it, get out of debt, right? The real basics, that's what you need there. You need the credentials when you start saying, giving financial advice, probably like buying Bitcoin, but depending on what you're saying, but yeah, for sure.
So the one thing that I was kind of thinking too is when you had this help with Bull Bitcoin at the beginning, when you were working with Bull Bitcoin, that was probably a good marketing avenue. But since then, like, how, because this has kind of been a challenge for meetups right now. There's so many different places to essentially broadcast that you have this meetup out there, meetup.com, Evento, Luma, you know, and now we're thinking that Noster is kind of the end game. That's where we're trying to point everyone to. But as far as marketing goes, what's been your strategies, or what have you found to be effective?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you guys have definitely been encouraging me to get more onto the Noster side of things. I do have a Noster for myself and for the meetup, but I sort of, like you guys were talking about two episodes ago, like just for the meetup one, it's just one post a month, right? Hey, here's the meetup, right? Whereas you can do so much more. So I'm been encouraged to sort of step that up a little bit by you guys, which is great. I started out with Twitter because that's where I was most comfortable already. That's sort of where I learned a lot about Bitcoin. So like I already had a little bit of a presence on Twitter. And then on Meetup as well, on meetup.com as well. To me, it just kind of made sense. Maybe it was because Ottawa did it. I don't know. But if people are looking for a Bitcoin meetup, and we do always talk about meetups, probably if they Google Bitcoin meetup, their meetup.com is going to be one of those things. Actually, some of the other things you mentioned there, I've never even heard of. Luma, I don't know what Luma is. But Meetup, you know, it was good, other than it has a cost, right? But every time I've thought, you know what, I don't know if I want to renew my subscription for Meetup, a new person shows up and they found it through Meetup, right? Like so commonly people are finding us that way. And including some of our longest, the people who've been around the longest, that's how they first found us. I personally think that's a great place to start. Whether you want to expand out to all those other things, you can. I have also got a Facebook page for the Meetup. Because, you know, certain, like, people who are a little older, that's maybe how they find things. And then also on Instagram, I made a thing there so I can share photos or different things. Sometimes just share memes. People can see it that way. And then, like I said, Twitter is probably the next. And then Noster, I occasionally or try to remember to go on there and post things and send some zaps.
So you're really getting, you know, those tentacles out there into the normie world, looking for the Bitcoin curious. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to draw them in through. That's a lot of different places to be kind of poking around and being active in.
Yeah, I definitely am, but probably too online, even though, you know, whatever. So I some of those places I am anyway, and I'll just send it out. I will also say Club Orange app, right? Formerly Orange Pill app. I'm glad that just scrapes meetup.com now, right? So I don't have to make a separate post there, but I've totally had multiple people find our meetup that way and come out too. So that also works.
So before go ahead, Reed.
Oh, I was just going to chime in real quick with, you know, one of the positions that I've been taking on this is definitely, you know, if especially meetup.com, because I feel the exact same way as you. I've almost canceled meetup.com like 5 times. It's the funnel. Like it's outside of word of mouth. Okay. Word of mouth is our number one. That's how most of our new people find us, but it's not even close. The second one is meetup.com. And so I'm like, I don't think that we can get rid of this. So one of the things that, Reb, I think you agree, but like we're saying, you know, you don't have to get rid of that. That's your funnel for new people. What we're kind of pitching the Noster side is, at least at this stage, like maybe someday that'll be like where the new people find you. Certainly it's not going to be today. Maybe there's some Bitcoiners on Noster who will find you that way. But again, the numbers are pretty low. Mostly what you get from it is discoverability, because these events can be broadcast everywhere and they can be integrated into websites. Like there's no paywalls, there's no barriers. It's like the easiest thing ever to integrate and to, you know, if people are making all these maps of like, where are the Bitcoin meetups? Like one of the common places that they're going to pull from is they're going to pull from Noster, and they don't have to worry about the paywalls. They don't have to worry about scraping stuff. They just pull the JSON right off of the, you know, right off of the WebSocket connection through the relays. And that's it. That's all they need. Now they have all your data. So yeah, I don't think that we think everybody should like cancel all their existing methods. It's more just like, hey, just tack this on.
Nice.
It's there's so many, a lot of people are that I, you know, that I'm in communication with are trying to come up with their own way of aggregating these meetups together. And it's like, well, a really low lift way to do it is to just use Noster, right? And if you make an event for an event kind, you hit the right kind on Noster and you put your meetup out there. Now that meetup can go, it's available in all these other people's little apps or what they're doing for their website. And it creates this really easy integration where the meetups are just everywhere for the people that are building these tools. And like we're talking about, you're not going to find the Bitcoin curious through the Noster meetup events, but I think I think a lot of people are just on Noster. They're hearing about meetups and they just haven't taken the jump yet. Cause maybe it's an hour away. Maybe it's an hour and a half away and they need to be like, it needs to be in their face over and over again and create these incentives, right? If they, like you said, if there's a cold card giveaway, now they're like, all right, I'm going. Finally, they're going to show up. And so then you're getting these Bitcoiners. They're already Bitcoiners. They're just waiting to connect with everyone locally. Anyway, so you have this really cool orange pill story. We kind of alluded to it a little bit. And I'd love for you to lay that down because it is one of the best that I've heard.
Well, thank you, I guess. It is a little unique. So just quick by way of backstory. So one thing for me is I did already have a pretty solid foundation in like Austrian economics. So some of that Bitcoin stuff that some people come to Bitcoin and find, they start learning about real economics. I did already have that. So it's sort of like I was already ready to find Bitcoin. I had just had to sort of see it in the right light. I had already ignored Bitcoin in 2013. I had ignored Bitcoin in 2017. Like I had heard about it and dismissed it. Then in 2020, so in my day job, my 9-to-5, my fiat mining job, I've worked with, you might call them juvenile delinquents. Here we'd call them young offenders, basically kids in jail, kids in conflict with the law. I've done that now for about 28, 29 years. But in February of 2020, a young person from Ontario, from Hamilton, managed to steal from a billionaire in California via SIM swap. He stole 1,500 Bitcoin and I think 3,000 or 30,000 Bitcoin cash. I'd have to double check. Originally, I didn't realize how much Bitcoin cash it was. Actually, more, like a lot, maybe about the same in value, but like it was a lot. But to me, 1,500 Bitcoin was what, you know, that really hit me. And people came to me and they're like, Sean, because they knew I knew a little bit about finance. They're like, how much is that worth? So I had to Google it. I think at the time that he first came to us, he had stolen 14 million in Bitcoin. And then as that year went on, of course, early 2020, this is after the COVID crash when he actually got arrested and came to us. So in May, the price was still pretty low, but by the end of the year, the price had started to run. And, you know, I think at one point, Bitcoin was up to almost 60,000 US at the time. So, you know, his 1,500 Bitcoin became significantly more in value. So again, because it was COVID, normally we have like a high school teachers come in and teach the kids, but because it was COVID, the teachers wasn't safe for them to come into our facility. But I mean, I was there, I had to show up to work every single day. But I was teaching the class or at least sitting in the teacher's chair, making sure the kids did their work. That kid sort of sat right in front of me so I could ask him questions. What's like, how do I buy Bitcoin? Where do I go? And he was sort of saying, well, you could go to Coinbase or Kraken. And I tried and I was trying to buy with a credit card and he couldn't do it. Until eventually I did find a Canadian exchange that worked, Shapeshift, I guess. I was able to make a purchase, that way. So then I did own Bitcoin first. I think, our Wealthsimple came out with the option to buy it, which is like your Robinhood. So I had some like paper Bitcoin. You couldn't even, you had to change it to fiat to move it or whatever, right? You couldn't even move the Bitcoin. But then late January 2021, I finally got my own real Bitcoin that way. So, you know, again, watching this kid sort of like understanding more about his story, how much Bitcoin did he have left? So it was never really clear because the police did a full SWAT raid on him, got some of the keys, sort of got unlocked laptops and got some back. But I knew that he had a bunch still left over, at least he claimed to. So that was kind of, you know, it's an interesting way to find Bitcoin. I don't think he ever really understood what it was that he owned. I think he would, well, if he, obviously he's just a teenage kid, right? So you can't expect them to really get it. But yeah, I'm kind of, you know, it sucks for the person who lost all that Bitcoin. I don't know if they got any back or not, but it worked out for me and that's how I found out about it.
So I really started interacting with Bitcoin around that same time. And I was like incredibly paranoid about getting hacked, you know, because I didn't really understand how it worked, right? So I was just, and a lot of the associations with it, you hear these stories of people getting, losing their Bitcoin for one reason or another. So I was like very cautious to the point where, you know, I was probably overly cautious. It slowed me down my acquisition, right? The phase where you just start to learn how to actually buy it. So I'm just curious when you hear, when you learn about it from somebody who's, you know, essentially a criminal at that point, what kind of mindset does that paint for you when you start to try and figure this out?
Yeah. So I was also, I don't know if it was, I would say paranoid, maybe I was, but like one of the very first things I've learned how to do, like, you know, like when I get into a new, whatever it is, new thing, I do tend to kind of go all in on that, sort of like my, I don't know if it's ADHD, but it's like my personality. So I'm going to go all in. Right. Whether it's, oh, it's online poker or oh, it's jujitsu or it's Bitcoin. All right. So I'm going to go all in on that. And that's what I did. I was just watching a ton of BTC Sessions videos. One of the first things I figured out how to do was make like a multi-sig wallet. Right. Because I'm like, well, now a SIM swap is impossible. Right. And I'm like, well, I don't have to worry anymore. Right. I don't use the same setup as I used to at all or whatever. Right. But like once I figured out, okay, if I have my keys offline, then what happened to that guy can't happen to me. And multi-sig is going to make that even more impossible, right? So, I think it was good in a sense that ever since the very beginning, I've sort of had that mindset like, yeah, it can be stolen if you don't, but it's up to you to hold it responsibly, right? And that's something I've been teaching at my meetups or harping on, right? Ever since the day one is, you know, you want to have self-custody and you want to own Bitcoin only and you want to have self-custody of it, right? Offline self-custody being better, you know, than a hot wallet, but even a hot wallet's better than on the exchange, right? And of course, Bull Bitcoin preaches the same things. It was, you know, natural that way that you have to take custody of your Bitcoin through them.
Now, and so there's some things that, like you said, this kid had, some of it got found, but he still had keys somewhere else. And so maybe as you're learning about this, you're like, wait a second. So how did they not get it all? You know, did like learning from him kind of really unlock like some of the real beyond Bitcoin just being money, but like the cool things that you can do now that this money is digital? Did that kind of shed some light for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Like just the idea of having the private keys being the ownership, right? Anybody who can get that. Right. If I find any of your seed, like either your guys' seed words, that Bitcoin is just as much mine as it is yours. Right. Not legally. Right. I'm stealing it. But like fit, like I would own it. I would have just as much control as you would. Right. And that's, you know, that obviously was part of, you know, figuring that out. And then at the same time, I'm figuring out the scarcity of it. Right. So he has, you know, realizing he's got 1500 of all that's ever going to exist. Like, you know, this is crazy. And even if he's only got 600 left or 300 left or whatever it is that he told me at various times. It's still a lot, and I did encourage him to give it back. I don't think he did. Pretty sure, and sort of a funny story, and this is also something that helped me learn a little bit about security. Obviously, this is not just a jail for cyber criminals, right? This is a jail for teenagers, but they're serious criminals. Right? Some of them are, you know, aggravated assaulters, but even also murderers. This kid was sort of a, as you might expect from the kid who did Bitcoin hacking, was sort of a nerdy, soft kid, right? It's not really the best environment to come into. I found out later, I think after he left, talking to this one of these other guys, this big kid happened to be in there for a very serious crime. He had sort of been, he'd paid him protection. He paid him a Bitcoin for protection, allegedly. Okay. But he, I think what he did was he gave him the seed word. And so that kid put it in and he has it in a wallet. But that kid didn't know enough. The guy who was the protection didn't know. He then had to move it. Right. Because once that, once the thief got out, and he is long since out, he just took it back because he was still on the same seed phrase. Right. So when I, obviously that helps you understand the same concept, right? Like whoever's got the seed phrase still controls the Bitcoin. So yeah, again, that wasn't the smartest move. If he thought he was ever going to meet that guy again, but that's what he did.
Well, that's some like really high quality education in a strange way, right? You get, you kind of get the crash course of like the real cool uses of Bitcoin and sort of learn like, okay, so if I don't want to get my Bitcoin stolen, I can see what happened here. And it's insane to start off in multisig, right? Like to kind of jump right into that. So
yeah, I mean, first thing was like a blue wallet, regular single sig blue wallet. But basically right after that, I started figuring how to use, you know, a couple phones and, you know, got myself a cold card and making things happen. So it worked out.
Makes me think too. It's like, it's so weird to think that, you know, depending on how you hold it, Bitcoin can actually be really, really easy to steal or really, really hard to steal, right? So it's like, because this kid, like this, even the state couldn't even get all of his coins, right? Like you'd think that they have this overwhelming amount of physical force at their disposal, and yet that's it. They couldn't get, you know. But then, you know, it's just, if you, it's like you say, right? If that's all you need is the key, and then it's like the easiest thing ever to just yank it back.
Mm-hmm.
So it must have been a weird, you know, that's why I think we wanted to bring it up, because it's such a unique way. Like almost no one learns about Bitcoin in such an adversarial environment, right? It was all under this like super adversarial conditions that you're watching it play out in real time. Just such an interesting and cool way to learn more about Bitcoin.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was definitely unique for sure.
So a lot of times at meetups, there's like, there's a lot of really, you know, if you're going to a Bitcoin meetup, you're pretty deep in Bitcoin generally, you know, like you're getting the new people in and stuff, but the regulars, they're probably up to something cool. And a lot of times, you know, you get this mix of, you know, 5 to 10 different people that are all up to something cool in Bitcoin, interacting with it. And it can create this like magic circumstance, right? That can't exist anywhere else because these people are actually getting together in person. And so like, for example, in the Southwest Michigan meetup that I go to, it's the closest one to my place. It just so happens that a lot of us are really into like homesteading and permaculture, and we're all like doing this food production stuff. And so that just makes this magical space at our meetup kind of be like a farmer's market or a market every time, where I'm pretty much picking up a grocery run every time I go to that meetup. And so I'm just curious if there's like anything with the Niagara region meetup that has this magic going to it that makes it unique.
I mean, I think unique, we don't have the farmer's market aspect to it. That's for sure. Although we have had people bring things to sell. One guy would come from our, he would drive from London, him and two guys would drive from London. Right. So that's about, this is London, Ontario. It's over 2 hours, right? They're driving 2 hours to our meetup. He would bring some like laser engraved coasters with really awesome Bitcoin logos and stuff on them. And so he would sell those there, which was awesome. People would, I don't know if it makes us unique, because it's probably true about any meetup, but we would just have a lot of people with a lot of different areas of expertise, right? We don't have like, oh, all four of these guys are all coders or devs, right? Like even, you know, we obviously within that there could be variety, but like we almost are all in completely different things. Some people are really into like that homesteading mindset. And if you have a question about, you know, raising chickens or like growing sprouts inside your, in your kitchen or things like that, or like general preparedness, those are that one or two people is the people to talk to, right? If you're want to talk about like setting up, you know, quality Bitcoin security, right? Making like really doing, good self-custody, maybe that's me and one or two other guys. Or there's some people over here, they've just been in Bitcoin for a long time, and they know a lot more about, you know, some of the history or things like that, and, you know, been through some more cycles. But also just, we have a variety of people from different professions our I would say our meetup skews a little bit older, like 35 plus, right? So people are already established in what they do. And we have a lot of just people we can talk. So sometimes our meetups, especially when it's just regular guys, we don't talk much about Bitcoin. We're talking about other things that we're interested in, right? Sharing that knowledge with each other, which is pretty fun.
So you get this great kind of cross aggregation between the best, you know, skill sets that everyone has. And so collectively, the whole group gets stronger, I'm sure, then.
Right? Absolutely.
If someone needs a custody solution, it's like a custody solution is kind of a sensitive thing to discuss on the internet or something, mm-hmm. you know. So it's like, yeah, I know you. I've been meeting with you for years. Maybe I can bounce some ideas off you about this new custody setup that I want to try. That's a great resource, you know. And you just you just can't get that kind of stuff unless you go meet people in person. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, I just think that these meetups can there's so much to offer there because you never know who's going to show up and what kind of interesting interactions are going to happen, what kind of networks that get created from it.
Absolutely.
It reminds me too of what you opened the show with, Rev, right? With this like Bitcoin Community College idea where that's what we're doing. We're coming together to teach each other, you know, if somebody's got a skill, it's the type of thing that we all want more skills, especially skills that lead to more self-sovereignty. And so obviously there's lots of Bitcoin skills that we can learn, but there's other skills too, which is so cool. So I had one other thing that I wanted to ask you about because, you know, you're working with all these kids, right? So, one of the things, and it's not exactly obviously the same environment, but I'm always curious, like what teenagers these days really think of Bitcoin. So I have a couple teenagers myself. My kids are teenagers now. And, they really don't think a whole heck of a lot about Bitcoin, that's for sure. And my kids, of all the kids in the school, probably have more Bitcoin knowledge, and yet they still are like, "No, Dad, we're not talking about that with our friends." Like, what do you think about how that generation or that age of kids, would you think they're interested at all in learning more about this kind of stuff?
I'm gonna say it depends, and probably, but like I say, probably not too many. And to be fair, like at that age, you know, because if you're a Bitcoiner, you really probably have a long-term thought process, right? You're thinking about years in the future, and that's why you're investing in this technology that's going to last. And is, you know, it's not really a short-term thing. It's a long-term thing. Well, teenagers in general are skewed to thinking, you know, short-term-ish, right? Their brains aren't fully developed. Then, of course, the teenagers I work with are even more short-term thinking than that. And that's why they get themselves in trouble. They think robbing a bank might work out and be a good financial move for their life, which of course it is a terrible idea. Do not do that. But I have done Bitcoin education with these kids, right? So I've got, I've been to El Salvador. I got some of the Mi Primer Bitcoin course material, and I've run through that with a group of kids and offered it to, you know, everybody. And then we might start off with five or six. And at the end, you got one who's actually interested, and one kid will just come along because whatever, it's something to do. Right. So like it's very rare that you get a kid who cares enough and also is sort of sharp enough to kind of go and move with that. Now, in general, obviously, my son knows a lot about Bitcoin. I got a teenager as well. One or two of his friends are at least a little bit interested, but most kids don't care. I would say, like, in terms of, because I work with some people who are younger as well, right? To me, like, it seems like the 20-somethings aren't that interested either, right? They're like, well, Bitcoin is old technology. And that's, of course, what they're thinking because it's been around their whole life. That they've been thinking, right? Like if you're 25 years old, Bitcoin's kind of been around forever, really. So that's Bitcoin, that's old, but this is new, right? I can do game stuff or I don't know, whatever I can be betting, sports betting or Polymarket or whatever the equivalent is. Some of those kinds of things, like, you know, in inflationary times, people are driven to, you know, to take more risk, right? And Bitcoin sort of probably doesn't even seem like it's risky enough for young people. Yeah, they just, they probably don't really get it. And when I talk to kids, they're like, oh, you can make, if I'm just talking about investing in general, you can make like 15% in a year. So if I had $1,000, I'd make, you know, like what, $150? Like, what's the point? It's like, they don't think it's just, it's completely not a factor to these, to kids. You know, unfortunately, because it's for them that, you know, some of us are stacking for sure. I'm sure you're stacking for your kids' future. I know I am. I don't know if you have kids, but if you did, you'd be stacking for their future too.
So the Meet Premier Bitcoin is actually something that hasn't come up yet. And I think this is actually a really great, like a lot of meetups, if you want to take the step away from just the social meet and start adding this educational component, especially if you're getting a lot of new people interested, the Meet Premier Bitcoin curriculum is like a really easy thing to integrate into the regular meetup structure, right? Where there's a guy, Bart, at the Grassroots event a couple years ago, and he had started to do this. His meetup was basically just around this curriculum. That's how it started. And he got some people that took it through all the way to the end. And it wasn't like he was able to like craft the curriculum to where he could get it down to like each lesson was a half hour of the meetup, you know.
Nice.
And it's just a great way to integrate some educational content where you don't have to go looking around and trying to figure it out. Like, for example, in the South Bend, Indiana meetup, the one that I run, we're starting to switch over to the Socratic seminar style thing that Reed's been doing. And so now we're like, okay, we want to put some topics up here, but what the heck, where do we start? And so we're kind of like, what even resources do we draw the information from? Because I don't want to, you know, when I'm putting links out there, put links to, once you click that link and you start browsing in that other, the website, the other shit that's on there, for them to find shitcoin stuff or like just bad information. So you have to like really curate the source material very thoughtfully. So that way when people go trying to dig deeper, they dig deeper in a positive direction. Now this Meet Premier Bitcoin thing is like, it takes all of that question out of it, where it's just this curriculum is set and you've got this flow that you're going through. But it sounds like you haven't necessarily integrated that with your meetup per se. It's more at work.
Yeah, I mean, more at work. So in the meetup format, like, is there meetup like once a month that you'd be doing that? It seems like a really long time to stretch that curriculum out. I think what I would love to do, it's just, I don't know, I haven't found the time yet, is to say like, hey, sort of like how I used to do as we talked about the Dave Ramsey thing, right? Dave Ramsey's big product, I guess, was Financial Peace University. I think it was 13 weeks at a time, might be 8 now, but 8 weeks in a row, you're going to show up and do this course. And I think that would be ideally how Meet Premier Bitcoin would get run. Is like, hey guys, or whoever is interested, you know, you've got every Monday night for the next 2 months, we're going to go through this course, right? And that's obviously more of a time intensive thing if you want to dedicate yourself to that. But that would be ideally, I think, how that would run. But I mean, it's open source. Like, there's no rules. You can do whatever you want. It's perfect for like, hey, we're going to do this part of this for whatever, if your meetup's once a month, it would still totally work, right? It's just like, it is a long time to spread that material out. But it's better to get it however you want to get it than not at all. So.
Yeah, exactly. It just gives you a direction where it's like, you start here, then you go here, then, and so you lead people on this Bitcoin journey in a curated, you know, curriculum style, rather than just like, this month, here's the gossip of the month.
Right. Yeah.
That was happening on Twitter. Definitely. And so we're going to go into quantum now. And you're bouncing around month to month all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things I've thought before, you know, because I talk to my kids quite a bit about Bitcoin. And one of the things that it kind of blows my mind that it doesn't mean more to them. Like, it feels like it should mean more to them. Kids, by almost any measure, are very much excluded from our entire financial system. Like, it's incredibly difficult for them to participate in any way. Like, you have to be over 18 to do almost anything meaningful with your money. Mm-hmm. You know, like, even like, I remember when my daughter turned 13, it was like, holy moly, she can get like this Cash App debit card thing that they rolled out, this program for, you know, and I had to like be a co whatever to get her into the program or whatever. But finally she could have Apple Pay on her phone because she wanted to like go to the donut shop across the street from the school and like buy something. And she didn't want to always have cash on her. And so it was just like those little things. And it feels to me like when I'm talking to her about it, it's like when you have Bitcoin, you know, you need no permission from anyone. Like, there is no walls. Anybody can use it. Kids can use it. You could be 5 years old. It doesn't matter. You just get a wallet on your phone. You don't even, there's no age verification. And so that was always something that I thought would resonate more with kids. But despite me bringing it up so many times, it seems to never really cross over.
I will give the suggestion. Well, I don't know if your kids are of the right age or not, or maybe they're too old. But to anybody who's listening, I would say as soon as your kids are, they might not have their own phone at a younger age, which would be better, right? If your kids don't have a phone, that's great. But as soon as they're kind of an age where they are semi-responsible, like my son's been getting his allowance in Bitcoin, or a portion of his allowance in Bitcoin, since for like at least the last 4 years, right? Ever since kind of I discovered the Lightning Network, right? Like, you know, a portion of that is he was kind of getting allowance to do the chores around the house. 20% of it is coming in Bitcoin, right? So learning how to use that. And, you know, he has his own multi-sig wallet that I send it to. I control one key. That's where his savings go to, but his sort of spending money is in the Lightning. But those are the kind of things, if you've got kids, as soon as they're able to, you can, of course, give them a cell phone that has no connection to the internet, and they can, or sorry, no like apps or whatever, and just turn on the internet to receive the sats, turn it off after. So almost any age, you can start teaching your kids. I think that's a great way to go. And it certainly worked out pretty well for him since we started that at the depths of the last bear market. He's been pretty pleased with his returns, and like the dips don't bother him at all, which is kind of neat. He's already gone through a cycle, you know, before he turns 20. Which worked out pretty good.
So yeah. You've been doing a meetup for almost 5 years now, right? Coming on 5 years. And I'm sure when you got started, it wasn't like you had this grand vision of like, I'm going to be running a meetup for, you know, this many years. And I'm going to start here. And eventually this meetup is going to accomplish these goals. Mm-hmm. But maybe now that you've been doing it for some time, and especially seeing the way that the culture that's bubbling up around the meetup is starting to mature. Like, is there any bigger picture, any bigger vision that you're seeing as something to work towards moving forward with the meetup?
Well, one of the things that I want to keep working towards is like Bitcoin sort of merchant adoption. And I kind of cut myself off in terms of like the history of our meetup a little bit earlier on. Sort of like right where I cut off, we had been meeting at the social meetups, whatever, which is great. Another local Bitcoiner, and if you see me on any podcast, his name's Bradley Mines on Twitter, right? He's got the Halving Report podcast. So he's local to Niagara as well. And he kind of like came alongside me and sort of like became like my co-meetup organizer there, which is fantastic. And we moved to a location where through his connections, we got them. The location was accepting Bitcoin, right? This was a bar, restaurant. You could go there, pay for your beers with Bitcoin, right? Which on its own brings in people, right? People who want to try that out, they've never done it before. The location also, again, through Brad's work, they had a Bitcoin Well ATM right in there. Inside, so we're having our meetup. Someone would usually at the end of the meetup get up and go make a transaction. People could go over and learn how to use Bitcoin Well ATM, so using the way that it wouldn't cost nearly as much to use your account through Bitcoin Well. Don't use regular Bitcoin ATMs, I would say. But like, so that was really cool. And also, like, we've got other locations in the region that are accepting Bitcoin, and I'm excited to see hopefully get our meetup to move around and be able to have that meetup at some of those, right? So yeah, we met at the Riverside Tavern there for over a year. They accepted Bitcoin. Unfortunately, the business sold and the new owners got rid of the Bitcoin ATM, and they didn't want anything to do with Bitcoin. So we kind of lost that. But last summer, we did a bonus meetup over at Canalside Cones. They accept Bitcoin. What we did there was have the whole, like, I think we had whatever 10 or 12 people show up, and some of those people had Lightning already. Most of them did not. So what I did was I said, all right, download this wallet. I think I said download Blink Wallet. And if you give me $20, I'll give you $21 in Bitcoin to encourage people to do it. And then everybody go order your food, either whether it's ice cream from the ice cream part, or there's another business there, which is like a fry truck with burgers and stuff. They started accepting Bitcoin as well, because I'm like, well, those guys are doing it. Do you guys want to do it? And you know, that night I was able to show the guy running. He was like a 60-ish year old guy. I'm like, here, this is how you use Coinos. And he's like, well, that's pretty easy. I'm like, yeah. So like, we got that running, and everybody there paid for their food with Bitcoin, which was probably one of my favorite meetups that we've ever done. And some of them was their first like time ever spending or using Bitcoin at all, which I thought was pretty cool. And certainly there was the first time that that one worker had ever accepted Bitcoin, and probably the most Bitcoin that the ice cream shop received in one day, which is cool too, right? So it's been that ice cream shop is definitely the most reliably, you know, able to accept Bitcoin, looking to accept Bitcoin. People go there because they accept Bitcoin, which works out pretty cool. So like, that's the one I'm not too worried about at all, right? Whereas some of the other ones that we've onboarded, you kind of have to hope that the right person's there or whatever, but you know, so that's sort of like what I'd like to see, more local businesses accepting Bitcoin. And then we can kind of move our Bitcoin or meetup, you know, or have extra meetups at some of those locations for that whole, pretty much as long as the riverbank was accepting Bitcoin, that's where we had our meetup, because I wanted to support a business that accepted Bitcoin, right? When they were gone, we've gone back into Niagara Falls there as well to our sort of our original social hangout spot, one of them, which has been working out fine, but they still don't accept Bitcoin. So, you know, it's not great, but still a fun time.
I think that's the right way, right, to onboard the business. And I think I might have mentioned to you a little bit before the show started, like I haven't gone around and done the business onboarding. And part of it is because the last thing I want to do is onboard a business and take all this time and hold their hand and get them set up and then have me be their only customer, or like me set them up and then not be going there as consistently as I used to or something like that. And then they have no one who's accepting Bitcoin. So I think that's really the right move, right? Is to get a whole group of you to like go like all at the same time and like try to encourage your meetup attendees to frequent these businesses that are accepting Bitcoin, because that's the way that they're, you know, if no one's using it, what's the point in having it, right? So I like that strategy. That's a good one. I'm gonna have to learn from that.
Yeah. And I just want to share this is one story about the, again, about the ice cream place. I think it's just such a crazy fluke scenario. So one of the things, I don't know how familiar you guys are with CoinOS, but one of the CoinOS guys that came out to our meetup one time, gave a talk, great guys, Cole. And of course, Adam's really good too. But they had set them up with CoinOS, and they have, they give you your business a little printer that prints out receipts, right? So that's helpful to have, because then if you just throw it in the till and you can balance at the end. Well, they had changed their Wi-Fi, so that meant that the thing no longer worked. So I'm like, well, I'll come out and bring my computer, and I can, hardwire, like connect to it, and I'll get it fixed up for you, and I'll get some ice cream. So I just show up, and the owner's not there, who's a friend of mine. He's not there, and it's just like a teenage girl who's sort of working in the ice cream store. And I just happened to, I'm like, I got the thing from her. I'm like, okay, thanks, over here. Next thing you know, so this girl, I don't think has ever taken a Bitcoin transaction yet, right? She's, whether she's new or just she hadn't had the opportunity. Next thing you know, a family, a guy with like his kids and his mom and his dad, like probably 8 people showed up, and he's there expressly because they accept Bitcoin. And if I wasn't there, they wouldn't have been able to. But I just happened to be right there, sitting like within 6 feet of where they were ordering. I'm like, well, you know what? This is, luckily for you, I'm here. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. Number one, it's a great story to show people, other businesses, hey, if you're accepting Bitcoin, people will come just because of that, right? Especially if you have a good location, right? And it's something that sort of makes sense. Like, hey, just grab some ice cream from that ice cream store instead of Dairy Queen over here. They accept Bitcoin. And it worked out so cool. I just thought that was fun.
So the Tampa Bay episode, episode 8? I can't remember. But they were kind of talking about bounty programs where they've got this 501c3 and all of this. They've got like a little bit of a treasury to work with and everything. But this is another kind of reason that as a meetup organizer, as Bitcoin meetups can develop these treasuries to create bounties like this. But now with this Square integration, where people can kind of turn on accepting Bitcoin through their Square terminals, now you can create bounties for people to go out and start to talk to, you know, hey, do you accept Bitcoin? Find the ones that have turned it on. And so, and then bounties aside, right, just the idea of like going and sniffing out the people with Square and who has turned it on. And then from there, there's this meetup in Indianapolis, and these guys are doing what's called the Lightning Social. So once they found the, and this is very much like what you've already described. Once they found these Square merchants that are accepting Bitcoin, they sort of mob them. They do a meetup where they all go to that one place and they just buy a bunch of stuff with Bitcoin there. And so, cause I mean, there's been these waves in the past, right? Where, you know, it gets into the popular cultural lexicon that, oh, it's cool to start accepting Bitcoin. You might increase your business by accepting Bitcoin. Maybe this was like around 2015 or something that this was happening. And, you know, people started going there and the Bitcoin was happening and then it died off and the businesses just turned it off and never figured out how to accept Bitcoin again. It was just water under the bridge. And so you do have to like make sure that once you do get this business onboarded, like Reed was saying, that there's some momentum there that continues and that there is like continual business done in Bitcoin to get them to stick around. But anyways, it's just so cool that these ideas and all this stuff is sort of happening. It's like the discovery of fire, right? Mm-hmm. Fire was discovered in multiple places, you know, historically at the same time, like very distributed geographically. And so it's like this Bitcoin adoption is kind of bubbling up in these different places. And all we have to do is just get the culture together, get the group together and go out there and let these businesses know that, hey, we're here. Yes, there is some economic activity around Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one thing too. I don't know if you've got plans to, or hopefully somebody will come out at some point, but Vancouver, Canada has a tremendous Bitcoin meetup out there. And they have like, I'm going to say like 100 local businesses that accept Bitcoin. And that's something that they'll do on like, I think like a Saturday. Hey guys, we're going to go, and we'll just go around visiting Bitcoin. Like you can do your shopping as we go, right? It's like, whether it's a walk or just a community, like a meetup get together thing, let's go spend some sats and things like that. And that's what I'd love to be able to do. Around here too, right? Like, hey guys, let's go here for dinner, here for coffee, we'll go over here for ice cream, right? And maybe, you know, we'll go over to this gym and I don't know, buy creatine, because that's one of the businesses they onboarded themselves completely, but like a local gym now accepts Bitcoin as well. I don't know how we'd work, start off with a workout, I don't know, but we could make it happen.
Instead of like a bar crawl, it's like a business that accepts Bitcoin crawl, where you like craft the whole day. You know, and you just like, we start off in the morning, we get coffee, and then we go over here for lunch. That would be super fun, you know?
Yeah. And some of them are bars. So then at the end of the day, you're doing both.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
So, and I think like the other example with Vancouver, right? It's Coinos is like, those guys were like the boots on the ground, just like doing the work.
Yeah,
and they have a huge incentive too with the wallet, right? They want people to be using their wallet and the businesses to be using it. But they put the work in to go and onboard all these businesses. And so a lot of people, you know, when you're getting started with Bitcoin and you really find that it's so much more than just money. Like it is a culture, it's a revolution, where the pioneers on the frontier kind of mentality. And then you start to think, well, I'm not a developer and I can't do any Bitcoin mining stuff, or like I'm not good with nodes. Like, what can I do for Bitcoin, like to help Bitcoin? And it's like, it just takes one dedicated person in an area to go and just continuously sniff around and encourage people to start accepting Bitcoin. And that can be a huge contribution, you know?
Mm-hmm. Although I will say it's definitely better if more than one person is doing that, right? It might be one person is the catalyst, but I guarantee you in Vancouver, it wasn't just one guy going out. It's like, hey, I'm going to start and you guys do it too, right? And that's worked in Niagara here. Like, yeah, I onboarded a couple of these businesses just by saying, hey, do you guys take Bitcoin? And they're like, what? How do you do that? Right? And that kind of worked. But other ones, it's just word of mouth or Bitcoiners talking to the business people that they know and then making that happen, right? So the decentralized model of spreading Bitcoin merchant adoption is definitely a lot less work on one person. And if you're the person who is going around to businesses, it can get discouraging, I think. I have done that. I'm going to go to 5 or 6 businesses today. And like, everyone's like, one person's like, no, get out of here. I would never do that. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I guess I'm not going to frequent this business ever, but that's fine. Other ones were pretty open to it, but they just, you know, didn't do it right then, but still you're planting seeds, which is still cool. If somebody else later on happens to ask, oh, do you take Bitcoin? Then maybe they're like, oh, I remember a guy came in a couple of years ago. He was asking the same thing. Why would I want to do that? Right. So that's the mentality I have.
All right. Well, I think we're getting ready to transition here to our value for value segment. But before we do, we like to offer, you know, kind of everybody here a chance to share, you know, either like final thoughts or key takeaways or maybe anything that you didn't get a chance to say. So, Sean, why don't you get us kicked off? Anything that you wanted to add to this conversation?
Okay. Yeah, I guess one thing maybe is, well, first I want to say that our upcoming, I don't know when this is going to be broadcast, I guess, but our next meetup is the 20th of this month, May 20th, Wednesday, third Wednesday of the month. It is actually at a different location. And this is something from one of your other podcasts as well. When someone was talking about the location, they weren't super happy with it. I thought, well, it's okay. I can move the location. It's not a bad idea. But it's a location where we can maybe have a little bit of a bigger space as well as a chance to move around a little bit more. We're going to be at Tailgates Bar and Grill in Welland, Ontario. So back to Welland. And we're going to be celebrating Bitcoin Pizza Day, right? Because it's only 2 days before Bitcoin Pizza Day, the 22nd. I am a big enthusiast of celebrating Bitcoin holidays. And of course, probably one of the top, well, not the most important holiday maybe, which would be the halving. But one of the big ones is Bitcoin Pizza Day. I think it's a fun way to celebrate. It's a good way to get new people out because people enjoy getting together and eating pizza. It's simple. It's not that expensive if your meetup happens to be covering the cost or whatever. So come on out to that 7 p.m. Wednesday the 20th at Tailgates Bar and Grill in Welland. Check it out on meetup.com, niagarabtc.com. You can get to our meetup page that way. Or find us on Twitter, niagarabtc. Also on Facebook. And on Instagram, Niagara BTC. So that's that little promo there. But the other thing I would want to say is like one of the cool things that's happened recently for us is just sort of like respond or like maybe spawned a new meetup to some extent. One of the things that has sort of always been the case for our meetup being on the border like we are is that sometimes I like to call us the Niagara International Bitcoin Meetup because we do have one or two people coming over the border pretty regularly, right? Or usually it's only been one person at a time, but some people come over from the States. And one of those guys recently, he's been coming over for a bit, and he's been talking about how, you know, he wants to get a meetup going, and he's actually tried and sort of had nobody show up, right? Which isn't too cool. But like, I just kind of kept encouraging him, like, just, you know, do these sort of steps, sort of like some of the things that you guys talk about here, like make the meetup page, make a Twitter page that's sort of like, make it sort of general, like whether you want to call it, because he's outside of Buffalo, but if you want to call it Western, like whether the Buffalo Bitcoin meetup or what he ended up with Western New York, right? So it's kind of got that general sense. So people aren't like, well, I don't want to go all the way to that little town. But so he's got that going. And then he just had it last Wednesday, I think. And I was able to like broadcast it on sort of everywhere I could. And I'm hopeful, and including sending it directly to some of the New York Bitcoiners that have come out to ours. And he actually had a great turnout on Wednesday. I think he had nine or 10 people, including one guy from Niagara Falls, Ontario that did make the drive over there. So that's exciting. And hopefully, like, I think it's great to have big meetups, but I think it's also really cool to have smaller 10, 12 person meetups that are more evenly distributed. That way nobody has to drive an hour and a half to a meetup, right? Which is, you know, it's great for hardcore people, but you know, sort of normal people, they're not going to do that every month. But if there's a meetup that's 20 minutes away, right? Oh, you know what? I can stop in for an hour, right? So sort of spreading that, again, it's a decentralized idea. Even if you have a hub meetup or like you guys get together for some bigger thing, whether it's that Lightning social like you talked about or whatever. But like, yeah, like if there's people who are coming from a distance, I've always encouraged them, hey, you know what? You're driving an hour here. Why don't you guys start a meetup in Hamilton, right? I would say to a guy. He ended up moving closer to us and he just comes to our meetup. But this guy who's over in Western New York, you know, you definitely start that meetup, right? I'll do what I can to promote it. Some of us will come over, right? Like we did. I'd love to get over the next one as well. But I don't know, just encouraging people to do that. And in general, even if you're where there is no meetup at all, and just if you build it, they will come is what I sort of always tell people. Like, so I know it's dating myself with Field of Dreams, but make a meetup start happening. And again, even if it's just you and one other guy or two people, you're having a meetup and if you know, you're going to have a good time talking to Bitcoiners, right? I've never gone to a meetup and talked to Bitcoiners and been like, well, I really wish I hadn't done that. No, it's always fun. You have a good time. You meet cool people. So get out there and get a meetup started or just go to a meetup.
Yeah. And I'm going to sort of my whole thoughts on this conversation are pretty much directly related to what you just said too. It's just like you start, you're kind of like following a lot of the journey of many people that start meetups, right? Is you start off by just going to other meetups and then being like, well, shoot, first of all, I'd like to have one closer to me so I don't have to drive an hour and a half. But I've also met some other Bitcoiners that are kind of in my range. And so they'll, when I do start this meetup, they can show up. And then you follow this kind of, it's good at first. And then it kind of, you try some different stuff and you can't necessarily nail down a venue and you haven't quite found the regulars yet. And so the attendance ebbs and flows and you're not quite sure like, all right, what am I really doing here? But if you just stick with it, after several years, all of a sudden, now you're onboarding local merchants, and you're really building this resource, this community asset, where people can come get advice on their self custody setup. They can come and learn because there's a guy there that knows all about homesteading and get some advice on how to increase their food sovereignty. And you see all of these connections starting to form, and so it's just it's encouraging to hear like. Yes, this is a normal progression. And for people that are just getting started with the meetup, like go ahead, go to some other meetups, meet some people. They will kick your new meetup off, help you out. And then from there, don't get discouraged when there's volatility, right? If anything Bitcoin teaches us is like how to deal with volatility, you know? And so this can happen in your meetup and just stick with it. And after some consistency, you're gonna get the fruits of your efforts there. Reed, how about you, man?
Yeah, one of the things taking us back almost to the beginning, you know, and I think we tied it together a little bit with what you guys are doing in Niagara Falls area is like it's about like one of the real benefits that you get from, you know, we've talked about Bitcoin meetups are like a community asset. Well, one of the big things that you can get out of that is like the skill sharing idea, right? Where people are all coming together and we're all kind of upping each other's game. You know, I've had people at the meetup come to me and tell me that they were like, oh, well, you know, I had the Bitcoin and it was all good. I was stacking sats and that was that. But now that I'm at this meetup and you guys are talking about all this crazy stuff that I didn't even know, now I'm kind of feeling like, man, if I'm going to stay engaged with you, I got to start kind of upping my game. You know, maybe I need to start a lightning note, or maybe I need to go, you know, figure out how to, you know, we talked about onboarding merchants. So like maybe we need to start going to do that. And it's like the more time you start thinking about your meetup and it's not just your meetup itself. It's what it is it's becoming your little community. And how do you make your community stronger, right? Like there's all these different ways that you can make your community stronger. But yeah, just, you know, sharing skills, learning, growing, becoming more sovereign as a community makes everybody like that much more robust and prepared for, you know, whatever it is that we're all going to have to go through here at some point. So I think that's kind of what I was thinking about most when I'm trying to summarize what we did here today. All right. Well, I think with that, we're ready to finally transition here to our boost section. So Rev, I don't know if you got some stuff queued up or how are you going to go through this time?
I got it. You know, we have this awesome thing that you built in localbitcoiners.com, and that displays all of the boosts that we get from anywhere, all in one place. And so I was able to find the point in which the new boost started. And so last episode, we did something a little different. Because Spencer is doing Bowl After Bowl podcast. And so they do that. They live stream that podcast every Tuesday. And so we were able to kind of like piggyback on his setup there and actually live stream the audio while we recorded to Fountain. And so there was some boost that came in live while we were actually recording. And so that's where I'm going to start tonight. And this means that, I mean, it seems like every episode we're getting more and more boosts. And so it's amazing that this velocity is starting to pick up. Like, we're doing it, guys. Like, the Noster thing, the value for value stuff, this is, we're creating some momentum and some velocity here. So it really is cool to see that these things are picking up. So but that the point being is that there's quite a few boosts to read through tonight. I'm going to just get started with it. So this one's from Live, and it's 333 sats via Fountain from, thought it was Chad F, but maybe it's just anonymous. It's from Castomatic.
I think this might have been one of the boosts, actually, that was we made a change. This was so this whole live streaming thing that we did with Spencer was a really cool experience for both of us. But it was also a cool experience because we got to see all these different types of Bitcoin payments coming in. And so I think this was one of the boosts that it came in with no name on it. And I was going in and trying to figure out why, because the Castomatic link that it came with actually has a whole bunch of the payment information. So after that boost was a great experiment. And so now going forward, if you boost us from Castomatic, we will have all the correct information. So thank you for that.
Yeah. And so then next up, we got a boost from our website, from localbitcoiners.com. And that was from Chad F and 33 others. And he says, testing my WebLN fix on the site. And he was boosting the episode 9 with Sir Spencer from KC Bitcoiners. And so, yeah, the website, we had just kind of launched the boost feature right before
it was like that
episode went live. So there was maybe some testing was necessary. But now if you go on localbitcoiners.com, we've moved all the episodes. The first thing you'll see is all of our episodes. So if you want to, if you're listening and, you know, you're listening on Fountain or you're listening on someplace maybe that you can't boost and you want to boost, you can go to localbitcoiners.com. You can log in with Nostr, connect your NWC enabled wallet, and you can boost right from there. And it will show up here in our feed and it will bounce out to our NPub on Nostr, and you're going to get tagged and everything is going to be connected. The value chain will have a chance to react there. And so the next boost we got is 3,994 sats via Fountain. And it says, hell yeah, gents, loving the show. Great guest. Hashtag 40 HPW. And that was on the episode with Sir Spencer, episode 9 from KC Bitcoiners. And I believe that was from Shadrack, although I don't see it here, which I don't know why. We're working through some of the kinks. Thanks, Shadrack. Next, we got a huge boost. Okay, this is the biggest boost we've ever gotten. 42,069 sats via podcast guru from Sir Spencer. So Sir Spencer says, thanks for having me on. Hope to continue to improve bowlafterbowl.com and continue to evolve alongside your localbitcoiners.com site. Iron sharpens iron, and I greatly value hearing what you guys are discovering on your value for value journey. Long live the value chain. And so Sir Spencer is definitely in the leaderboards now with that boost. And so thanks a lot, Sir Spencer. That's that means a lot that we're working on this together, and we're going to try and create some cool new stuff, some new options for people to interact with this value for value ecosystem and get some capital creation and velocity going. Next, we got 10,000 sats via Fountain from Jordan. Jordan is the producer over at the Ungovernable Misfits podcast, one of my favorites. And so they're doing a lot of, if you don't know that podcast, they do a lot of content around, you know, self-sovereignty, privacy, open source, just kind of the deeper nitty-gritty stuff that comes with Bitcoin. Really great show. I've been listening to it for years. Definitely part of the crew, Jordan in the Meshadel and all that. These are the guys. And so he says, looking forward to listening boys pre-boosting. And so he's just given us some value in advance because he knows that he's going to get something out of it. Next, we got 100 sats again from Jordan. And he said, fuck, I didn't know you guys did pay nims. Keep an eye out. And so actually, Jordan has just been kind of sharing around an article or I don't know if it's a Twitter thread or what you want to call it, but there's some information around this really cool new thing with Paynims. So if anyone's familiar with Paynims, basically it's a way for you to make a connection with somebody else on chain to where you don't need to give them an XPub, but they can generate a fresh address every time you want to do a payment with them. And so this makes it really convenient for people that you're paying with, paying often, or transacting with often, where you can keep the privacy intact. You know, you don't have to share so much. And so one of the issues with this Paynim, I can't remember the BIP number, but the Paynim BIP is that there kind of needs to be a central server that kind of holds that namespace for, because there's a Paynim payment code, but you want to simplify that into a name, a recognizable name. And so what happened when Samurai, all of the Samurai infrastructure got shut down is that Paynim namespace got shut down at the same time. All the Paynims, the connections still worked, but you couldn't do a new one. And so the solution to this is actually inscribing the this namespace on Bitcoin itself. So now you can always reference, it's just embedded in Bitcoin and you can always reference it. And therefore, these names will persist. And it's like one of the best use cases of actually inscribing data on chain that I've heard about recently. It's very cool. You guys should check it out. I'm struggling to remember. It's Max Tannehill is the guy who has accomplished this. So check out Paynims and in related to what Max Tannehill has been doing. Very, very cool stuff.
Yeah, and we integrated those actually. It wasn't like day one or anything, but very early on in the podcast, we started getting people reaching out to us saying like, hey, you should accept payments this way, or hey, you should accept payments that way. And it's like, we, since day one, we've been trying to open up as many possible ways for you to send us value as possible, right? And that's why we're doing all this stuff with the website, is we're trying to open up all these different avenues. And so Paynims was one of the ones that I hadn't even heard of those. When someone said, hey, you should check out Paynims, I was like, I guess I should go check out Paynims. And so that became, you know, I went and checked it out and learned it and got the show, you know, set up with it. And so now it's in the show notes. If you want to send us any value that way.
Yeah, and I guess it's worth talking about a little bit. So the last, the way I use Paynims, or the most valuable reason I'm using Paynims is in relationship with my mining pool, right? So I use Lincoin Mining Pool, and Lincoin Mining Pool utilizes Paynims. So now I don't have to change my payout address every time I get a payment. I can give them my payment Paynim information, and every time I get a payout, it goes to a fresh address and they don't have my XPub. And this is like, that's a pretty fucking cool thing to do, you know? Yeah. Because like, if you're mining with Ocean, you're kind of disincentivized to change your address because your shares are building up on in relation to that address. So then you have to roll the shares out of the old address and then start getting shares in the new one. Regardless, the Paynim stuff is very cool. There's a lot of good reasons to use it. It's important. Next, we got a boost 100 sats from Podcast Guru from DeLorean, who is the co-host of the Bowl After Bowl podcast. And she says, Tess, thanks for testing. I wonder what she was testing.
Probably her next boost, because she's next on the list, right?
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. Next, we got 3,333 sats. You should ding the bell. Does anyone have the bell? Ding, ding, ding.
gotta get a soundboard.
It's from Podcast Guru, DeLorean again. And she says, abundance mentality, open source everything. V for V takes commitment and consistency, but goes far beyond money. It demands responsibility of both value givers and value receivers, but leads to limitless collaboration and fun. Those experiences can be evaluated in monetary terms if mentally necessary, despite being priceless and great memories. And that was from the last episode 9 with Sir Spencer. And she actually boosted this in live, and we actually had a little discussion about that on the show, if you want to hear what everyone had to say. So thank you, DeLorean, for the value, the value for value info. Next, we've got 333 sats from CurioCaster, ding, 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 Eric PP. And there's no message along with that. So thanks, Eric PP, for participating while we were recording. After that, we've got 1,112 sats via Fountain from Shadrack. And he says, don't forget to hang. Build, enjoy together. Hashtag 40HPW. And so, yeah, this was kind of one of the things that we talked about in the last show, was where, you know, meetups start off as a hangout, and then you start questioning, like, well, what are we really doing? Can we do anything more? But it's also important not to lose sight of the fact that this is a social thing at its core. Meetups are inherently social. The next one we got is 333 sats from Castomatic. It's via Fountain from Castomatic, or with a
this
Castomatic
is another
link
one that
in
was
there.
The, yeah, this is another one of the Castomatic ones that was broken, that is now fixed going forward, but at the time was not fixed. So these are what they are. They're kind one notes, but going forward, Castomatic stuff will be better.
Yeah, and so the other thing that we're playing around with doing is because there are so many of these podcast 2.0 apps, and now you can boost. You don't have to. It's sometimes the friction. There's friction there if you want to boost, right? If you're using one app, then you have to have an Albi account, or you have to have some sort of wallet that supports Keysend, or there's all these like kind of pain points that you can run into, and all you want to do is just like boost the show and throw down a couple sats and send a message. And so we are now, you can go to our website and do that. You sign in with Nostr, and if you're, a lot of the listeners here are already using Nostr, right? So it's like pretty much every guest that we've had on the show has had a Nostr NPub. Everyone's using Nostr, right? So come over to our website, log in with Nostr. You can boost right from there, and it will show up on this feed. And in addition to that, like, if you want, like, maybe you're hearing this podcast for the first time and you're listening from AntennaPod where you can't boost, but you can go on to, we're hoping to integrate that you can go on to the website and then be able to find a link to our show on your favorite podcasting app and then add us to your queue there. But you can boost through the website, right? So now you don't necessarily have to use a podcasting app that supports boosting to listen to us. You can just do the boosting over at the website. Next, we got 124 sats via Fountain from Matt Finley. And he says, really great discussion. Well, thanks, Matt. Appreciate the boost. Hopefully we can continue to provide the value. And this discussion, if you listen, was also great. Next, we got 5,000 sats via Fountain from Matthew D. Matthew D is on all our leaderboards. Matthew D is one of our biggest contributors to our podcast. And so thanks a lot, Matthew D, in advance. But what Matthew D's got to say, Thursday, May 21st at 6 p.m., Michigan BTC is having a party at the Devos Place in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's political if that's your bag. You can find tickets at MisesBitcoinBall.com. And so this is something that Amber Harris of the Michigan Bitcoin Council has been working really hard on with the Libertarian Party. It should be a pretty cool event. They're definitely doing their best to make it a big thing, you know, probably in line with that Sound Money soiree kind of vibe that was going on in Tampa Bay. And so if you're in the Michigan area and you're around May 21st at 6 p.m., you should try and get to this event. It should be pretty cool. They're going to have some vendors there. You're going to be able to buy some local stuff with Bitcoin. And so check it out, MisesBitcoinBall.com. Thanks, Matthew D., for letting us know about that. And that's the kind of boost that I'm like, gets me really excited. You know, that's kind of, talk about value chain, right? Now you're sharing an event that you think is cool coming up somewhere, and now everybody gets to know about it. And that is a lot of value right there. That Matthew D sent us some value, but he also gave value to the listeners here, letting everyone know about that. So thanks. Next, we got 236 sats via Fountain from God's Death. And God's Death is also one of the leaderboard. You'll find him on our leaderboards. And he says, thank you, gentlemen. Well, thank you, God's Death, for continuing to listen and support. Next, we got 112 sats from Nostra Gang, who just has a heart emoji. Thanks, Nostra Gang. And I don't know, maybe Nostra Gang is going to be on the leader. If Nostra Gang isn't on the leaderboards already, they're certainly working their way towards it.
Getting close.
It seems like they're boosting a lot every episode.
On the regular.
So really appreciate it. Next, we got 324 sats via Fountain from Shadrack. Here's Shadrack again. And man, Shadrack is definitely a leaderboard homie as well, it seems. Shadrack says, build tools for the next generation. Teach the children to earn sats by doing shit. And so we talked about that a little bit on this episode, too.
Yeah, that's where it's perfect, like, fit for today, right? That's perfect.
Yeah. It's, you know, you got to give the, now it's kind of like the, getting to, alluding to like the minimum wage laws, kind of just eliminate certain jobs that are so low value that they can't even be viable because minimum wage stops it. But, you know, it's like kids can earn Bitcoin, you know, and there's nothing stopping them from doing that. And if there's a Bitcoin culture and you've got children, and I think Sir Spencer was even talking about that, and that's probably where the boost comes from, is that they're going to do a meetup at a place where kids eat for free and try and make it about education for kids, you know. And this is providing the opportunity for the kids to get started with earning Bitcoin before they can even mess with the dollars, you know. Huge advantage there. Next, we got 421 sats from Undisciplined via Fountain. And they said, great discussion about organic growth. Slow is smooth and smooth is fast. And that was on episode 9 with Sir Spencer. And I will agree with that. I mean, it's a permaculture principle, small and slow solutions. And so growing slow creates resilience. It creates systems that are not brittle. And they'll maintain some longevity. And that's, if we're going to lower our time preference and zoom out as Bitcoiners, hey, we're not in a hurry here to have the meetup be a raging success overnight. Just build it slowly and follow the path that it takes you down.
It actually makes me, thinking about it that way, right? Thinking about building slow, it actually makes me more bullish on all this stuff, right? Because it's like, sometimes I feel like Bitcoiners want, you know, mass adoption to happen tomorrow. And like, we want, like we talked about it on the show last Friday, it's like, we want everybody to come to Nostr because Nostr is the best. But like, that's not happening. And so if you think that that's what's needed, well, that can be a little bit discouraging. But as soon as you start switching over your mindset to this, we're just going to build at the pace that we're going to build at. And like, the people are going to come over as they come over. And like, that's okay. It's like, oh man, well, the future is bright, right? We're just going to build for the future that we want to see. And then eventually we'll just grow into it. It's been a good mind shift.
Yep. Just all we have to do is just keep doing what we think is good and what we think is right. And can't go wrong. And it's going to take time. But that's, you know, I often, I love to use the fruit tree as an example, because that's what I've got. I got a bunch of fruit trees. And I planted these fruit trees at various times. But you can't plant a fruit tree, an apple tree, for example, and expect to get fruit from it next year. Right? You got to plant that tree, nurture that tree, protect it, and grow it to the point where it starts to actually produce the fruit. And so if we can take that mentality and port it over to a lot of this other stuff, it changes the mindset, and you realize that, yeah, I can't get discouraged. I just got to keep doing the work. So great boost. Thank you, Undisciplined, for that one. Next, we got 100 sats via Fountain from Steel Matrix. And he says, thanks for the show. Well, thanks for listening, Steel Matrix. And we hope to see you again. We're going to keep trying to do our best to get you that value back. Next, we got 5,000 sats via Fountain from BTC Wrestle. And so I don't know if we should tease this or not, but I do believe BTC Wrestle is scheduled to appear as a guest.
This is true. We've got him on the calendar.
So BTC Wrestle, you will be hearing from him. He's been boosting some really great boosts along the way. But look out for the show with BTC Wrestle coming up. And he says, great rip, fellas, as usual. I always come away with new ideas for my meetup. And so, you know, maybe since BTC Wrestle has been listening in advance of his appearance, he's just going to like lay down the hot fire of all the synthesis of all these episodes combined together. Not to put pressure on you, BTC Wrestle, but thanks for the boost. And BTC Wrestle's a Meshadel homie too, so the Meshadel support is really strong. Definitely appreciate everybody at the Meshadel. Next, we got 100 sats via localbitcoiners.com. All right. And so this has an NPUB that is not, it's not rendered. So it's a bunch of numbers and letters.
I'm looking at it now too. It looks like it's not rendering on a lot of apps. I'm not sure why. Maybe they haven't filled out their profile information.
Yeah. A unique NPUB. Tell us how you managed to get that to happen there. NPUB 1PG5WKH. Sorry, I'll stop. All right. Next, we got 124 sats via Fountain. And so this is another test boost using ChatF's Boost Me Bitch. So ChatF has been working on a similar feature from a different website. And I think Bowl After Bowl is also working on having this availability too, of just being able to find these podcasts and boost them from outside the podcast apps, you know, having different ways to reduce the friction of boosting these shows and getting that value moved through conveniently and allowing these value chains to react. And so it looks like the boost worked, ChatF. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. And we got 209 sats via localbitcoiners.com from ChatF again. And now he's testing Primal Signer on iOS. So ChatF is really digging into our website, trying to break it. It's almost like, man, we should be paying him the sats back for doing all that work.
This Thanks, is all Chad great F. stuff. 100%.
We're going to find a way for you to get some of that value back, definitely. Go check out Boost Me, Bitch. You know, that's definitely one way. 100 sats from Fountain, from Bullish Clips. So many good ideas, not even halfway through the episode. Bullish. And so Bullish Clips has got the sats market. We talked about that in episode 5, I believe.
It's come up in a few episodes.
Yeah, it's kind of a reoccurring theme. Because Bullish Clips is boosting all the time. So we got to, you know, why not mention it? It's a really cool idea.
We'll be talking more about it.
You know, and I am like very close. A lot of my products are not internet products, right? Not very cool things to ship. But I've got some things in the works in which might allow me to finally, for it to make sense to join in on the bullish market.
Hey, that would be sweet.
And so, we'll be hearing more about that as time goes on. But for now, if you got something that's good to sell on the internet, or if you're looking to buy some really high quality stuff from Bitcoiners local to Noster, you can check out the bullish market. It's 21st of every month. All right. 321 sats via Fountain from Alice A. And so Alice A, sometimes it seems like they render as Satoshi's chef as well. And we can't figure out why this is happening. Maybe there's two NPUBs and they're boosting from separate ones. I'm not sure. But Alice A is saying that there's a, they're hosting a pizza night at the winery Thursday, May 22nd in Winters, California. So the winery must be the name of the place. May 22nd, Winters, California. Pizza night. So is that pizza day, May 22nd? Is that the
May 22nd
the holiday?
Is pizza day. Yep.
All right. So there you go. A pizza day meetup in Winters, California. Go check it out. Thanks. And once again, that is the kind of shit that I want to see, the events. Like, let's let people know what's going on so they can get out there and find their local Bitcoiners. 421 sats from Fountain, Hash Power Music. And so they say boost on behalf of the Cleveland Bitcoin meetup. Value chain increases the velocity of value, supercharging the flywheel. And so the Cleveland meetup is definitely, when I was trying to do this podcast on my own before I met Reed, I actually had talked with and recorded an episode with the Cleveland guys. And so I do owe them a redo so that we can get their meetup out there. But the Cleveland Bitcoin meetup culture is amazing. It's exemplary. And if you're in anywhere near Cleveland and you can get out to one of their meetups, I highly recommend checking it out. And Hash Power Music is involved with a lot of the V4V, DMU stuff going on with the music stuff too. So you should definitely check that out. That's what I'm saying, dude. The Cleveland guys, they got it figured out. They're like integrated into Nostr, into the value for value stuff. They know what's going on over there.
Sweet.
Next one we got, 421 sats via Fountain, once again from Hash Power Music. And he says, Reed, this is what we do with musicians in real life. They won't get it right away, and it depends on what stage they're in. Each artist is different. It's not usually about money. Talk about other stuff like publishing and distribution. If you need support through the journey, reach out, and we're relatively local to you and happy to help with all of it. Well, so there you go. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm looking for.
Those guys know.
That's fantastic.
About the music stuff. So check out Hash Power Music. Yeah.
As I continue down that journey, I will absolutely keep that in mind.
And it's just so cool. Like it's the culture that can go along with music is so much more powerful, I feel like, and so much more ingrained in us as humans, you know, like to commune around music. There's songs that are literally like thousands of years old that we still sing, or maybe not thousands of years old, but like 1,000 years old or something, from like the plague or something, right? From the 1500s, whatever. And so music is super powerful, and it's a very important part of building true Bitcoin culture. We need musicians, and we need places for them to play and people to go watch them. Okay, next up, we got 421 sats from Fountain, Hash Power Music again. He says, the deeper social connection with your audience is extremely important. Nostr plus Podcast 2.0 communities equals massive value that Spotify cannot replicate. And yeah, it's like we talk about this. It's like Nostr is a location on the internet. Spotify is not a location on the internet. You're at like someone's house, you know, like you're in their business, inside their storefront. You're not free to do whatever you want there. But like Nostr is like, it's the park and it's the mountains and it's the woods and it's the rivers and it's the streams and it's all that shit that you can just go and fucking run into people at. It's the public square. It's the commons.
Unexplored territory.
Yeah, the frontier. And so you can go there and you can just do this shit. And you combine it with the Podcast 2.0, which is this RSS feed, kind of uncensorable, self-hosted thing, right? It becomes, like you said, impossible for Spotify to replicate. What we're doing here is new, and it's the future. It's the frontier. It's great. I'm having a lot of fun participating in it. Next, we got 209 sats via localbitcoiners.com. And so it's, Reed, you're just boosting about the Bitcoin boost bots, or the boost bots have been made public. So you linked the GitHub link to that. So now if anyone's interested in how our boost bots work, and, you know, I guess maybe you should talk about it. Because I don't really exactly.
Well, we've gotten questions. We had gotten questions about it before, and I wasn't sure like what the best way was to, like, it certainly wasn't something I was trying to keep hidden or secret or private. I just wanted to do it in a way that was responsible and made sense and would actually be useful to someone else. And so that required me to like do a little bit of cleaning up, because all this stuff happened like very organically and in the moment. And they were all like these, like had all kinds of hard coded weird stuff in them and that needed to get cleaned up and sanitized. And so I was finally able to get to that. And I thought it would be a good, now that we've gotten a bunch of these lessons learned in from the last episode, it kind of makes sense for me to throw it out there. And for those of you who have been asking, hey, how did you build that? Or how are you dealing with this? Or how are you dealing with that situation? Now, at least you can either go look at the code yourself or, you know, go ask your agent to go look at the code, which is honestly what I did. Like I didn't actually write these things. So, but if you're interested, now you can go check it out.
Yeah, and hopefully people can use that as like maybe even a reference. I don't know how it works, but like if they want to try and build these boost bots themselves, now they can at least see roughly what we're doing.
An example implementation, yeah.
Yeah. Next, we've got 2100 sats via localbitcoiners.com, and this is Reed again. If you like this episode, you should definitely check out Boomer. He's got a new podcast, The 49th Parallel. There's a link, a fountain link there. And so, yeah, Boomer is a fellow Canadian. We mentioned him earlier in the episode. They've got a cool new podcast with Business Cat of the Rock Paper Bitcoin podcast, which Fundamentals is also a part of that. And so you can see that this whole ecosystem, we're all connected together here, really kind of creating some cohesive cultural lenses through which we can learn from each other. And so Boomer's podcast, The 49th Parallel, is kind of looking into the more interpersonal and relationship aspect of like, once you have Bitcoin, how does that affect your relationships and how does that change you as a person and how do you think differently? It's definitely a food for thought type of a show to listen to. So I listen to it. I like it.
I threw that boost out today actually because I started listening to it today. And so I listened to their first episode. I really liked it. It's going to be one of my regulars now for sure. So figured I boosted it along with Boomer's episode. So episode 3. So that's the connection there.
Okay. We got another,
we got some more,
a couple more. Yeah. Next we got 324 sats via fountain and it says no comment with boost. And that was on episode 1. So someone went back and listened to episode 1. And so that's the cool thing is that you can go, you can boost from any episode, an old one or a new one, and you'll get it. You'll get read on the most recent one. And this is kind of like some of the little bit of the gamification stuff that we'll get into with the leaderboard stuff. But like, if you're a guest on our show, you're getting splits, right? And if you're a guest on our show, you have a Bitcoin meetup. And if you want to promote your Bitcoin meetup by boosting our show, you can boost the episode that you're on and you get a kickback from that boost in your splits and you get to promote the show at the same time. And so that's just like kind of one of these weird things that you can do. Go back into an old episode, you get read on the most recent one, and you get like some value back for that. And so there's another episode, another boost, 324 sats. I'm assuming it's from the same person because of the number. And they're boosting episode 4 as well. And then another boost of 324 sats. So I wonder. Oh, so it's now it's coming up. It's Shadrach, and so Shadrach is definitely trying to game this. I think where he wants to get on that most episodes boosted leaderboard.
Oh, yeah.
He's just going back and that's boosting maybe work. All the episodes that he hasn't boosted before. And so he boosted episode 6, and then he boosted episode 6 again, and then he boosted episode 7, and that's all the boosts that we got for tonight.
All right. Yeah, dude, some of these were coming in like while we were recording. So that's great to see. All right. So let's transition over and talk about leaderboards for a minute. So like I said, I'm very glad to, you know, be able to share that all of this stuff is now out there on our GitHub for the, it's actually the same GitHub that has our webpage on it is where we store the bots. And so you can dig in and see how we're actually collecting all of this information and putting it together to build these leaderboards. So our first leaderboard is about our most popular episodes. And how do we know they're the most popular? Not by downloads. We know they're our most popular episodes because these are the ones that have received the most sats. So if you're new to the show and you don't know where to start, probably this would be a good indication of where to start, because sats are the signal, is the way I like to say it. And so our top boosted episode of all time was only from a few days ago, which is episode 9 with Sir Spencer. Now, so the total for that episode is now 75,872 sats, which is absolutely incredible. Now, you probably caught on the boost reads, one of those was a huge boost, the biggest boost we've ever gotten. But even without that boost, episode 9 would be almost cracking the leaderboards already, which is impressive considering it was only a few days ago. And so again, so that was with Sir Spencer, and that was where we talked about growing slow, build strong communities, and it was with, he's from the KC Bitcoiners. All right, second place is Augie's episode. So taking over, Sir Spencer took over the episode 9, took over the top slot there from Augie. But Augie's still holding it down. Second place was 63,625 sats. That was with episode 5. And episode 5, if you remember, the meetup is the farmer's market. Still remains one of our most popular episodes.
Yeah, and so the KC Bitcoiners, if you're in the Kansas City area and you have not been to some of these meetups, they're good. You know, you can tell there's been two guests on the show that have been repping that meetup culture. With tons of, I mean, dude, they got it going on over there. So definitely try and make your way out to Kansas City. And actually, Kansas City does like these block party events where, like, they do the kind of this regional meetup structure that we're talking about, where it's, you create like once a quarter or every so often a bigger thing. And that you can like make a trip to just to go to that event. You know, even if you're not local to Kansas City, just to go experience the culture down there. It could be something worth considering.
All right. Third place, episode 1. Episode 1, the pilot episode, got a ton of love, ton of support on episode 1. But episode 1, as we've said before, is a great place to start. If you're looking to start a meetup, maybe you don't know where to start. That's where we kind of break down some of the good lessons learned that we've gotten over the years. I think we kind of pulled a lot of information off of the GitHub page that we have, which is another great resource for you, which you can also find on our website. But episode 1 has got 60,523 sats. And that was an episode with no guest. It was just Rev and I to get things started off. All right. And
is this a good opportunity to kind of talk about what the splits and how, like, if we don't have a guest on, that we do a third split. So it's like, one third goes to Rev, one third goes to Reed, and then one third goes to the guest. And if there's two guests, then they split the third, so on and so forth. But if there's no guest, then a third goes to this Primal wallet. And this is kind of a cool thing that I've never done before, where we both have the keys to that Primal wallet. You know, so we like co-own the wallet. And what we're doing with those, right, and the NSEC. So it's like we are both... we're owning this cooperatively, which is cool. I just never have had any opportunity to do this in my life. And so what we're doing with that, with the sats in that Primal wallet, is now we're trying to push this the sats back out via Zaps, and eventually once I log into Fountain or whatever, you know, or maybe it'll be easier to use Boost Me Bitch or something, and I should check that out, but like use some other way to start boosting other shows that we find value in. But, and so like an example of one thing with this website that we put up with localbitcoiners.com, it's new and we can't nearly test it ourselves to find all the bugs and everything and get feedback. Like we only see it from the way we're looking at it, but you know, if you're going on that website and you're seeing it a different way, we want to hear about that. And so when someone basically went on there and tried some stuff and said, hey, I, you know, this is my feedback. And I was like, whoa, all right, thanks for the feedback. I boosted or I zapped them. And then I said, you know, anyone else, like I renoted it, anyone else that's got feedback, I'll zap you for some feedback. And so this is one way that you can, not only are you adding value to the show, if you go on our website and you try it out and you play around and you boost the show, but for doing that, we've got a whole a budget there to like push more sats back in your direction. And once again, this is the value chain, right? We want to keep the velocity high, make everything, the transactions flow. And at the end of it, there's more capital built than there was before. So that's just what I wanted to say about it.
Yeah, the shared wallet thing is pretty cool. I actually kind of thought it might break. Like I thought the wallet might not like having multiple states or whatever, but it's been totally fine. So maybe that's another feature of the Spark stuff that they implemented. I'm not exactly sure, but it has been working smooth. Fourth place is episode 2. This was GC and James, and their episode 2 was 47,071 sats. And that was the title of that episode was Meetups Are the Ultimate Web of Trust. And that continues to be one of the great conversations that we had. A whole bunch of really good clips came from that episode. But, you know, actually, one point I wanted to bring up, I was thinking about bringing it up during the boost. So I didn't really get a chance. One of the cool things I was thinking about with all the stuff that we're doing here is, you know, a lot of meetup groups out there have an NPUB. But maybe, and I think Sean mentioned it earlier, it's like, yeah, I've got an NPUB, but it's like one, you know, message per month. And honestly, you know, I've been there too. And it's like a little bit hard when, you know, you're blasting this message out to your 12 followers. It's like, you know, what is the point of this? But if you boost the show, now all of a sudden we're blasting out your NPUB to a wider audience, right? And then we're renoting that from our accounts to a wider audience. And now people are going to be like, oh, this meetup has an NPUB. Let me start following your NPUB. So it's like, it's a really good way for people who maybe you're not on Nostra all the time, or your meetup isn't on Nostra all the time, and you want to start getting it out there that you actually have this NPUB. This is a great way. Like, get on the value chain, boost the show. And that's another way that you can try to get your, you know, your follower count up and try to get a little bit more discoverability for yourself.
Yeah. And our NPUB in general is like a good one. It is something to follow for like content. It's not just going to be related to stuff to local Bitcoiners, the show. I'm going in there and I'm definitely trying to curate the stuff that I think is relevant to anyone that would listen to the local Bitcoiners podcast. Like the whenever that BISC thing happened, that's on there. You know, if there's any meetup, any event thing that I'm finding, that's going to end up on our feed, you know, across Nostra that I'm coming across. So like there is reasons to just come check us out in general.
All right. Fifth place is episode 7. That was another rip with Rev and I. I think that was the one where we talked. That was when we really started leaning heavy into the value for value. So how meetups can benefit from value for value, Nostr, and value chains. So that's rounding out the top 5 episodes of all time, which is now, so this is episode 10. So this is our top 5 list is going to now become half of our episodes, and it will continue becoming a more and more exclusive club the more episodes that we drop. And that came in with 39,227 sats. All right. So that was our first leaderboard. Our second leaderboard is what I like to call the ride or dies. And we started talking about it a little bit because it sounds like Shadrach is coming for Matthew D here. But we made a couple changes. Our listeners who have boosted the most episodes all time. That's what this leaderboard is. And it used to be the top 10, but it was kind of a lot. And also with so few episodes, it was just a whole bunch of big ties, right? It was like a huge tie, like a whole bunch of people had 3 episodes, a whole bunch of people had 4 episodes. So we cut it down to the top 3 with ties, right? So if there's 5 people tied for 3rd place, you'll all be listed. The other thing we did to this boost or to this leaderboard is Rev and I were both in leaderboards because we're constantly in there testing out all these features and doing all these test boosts and trying stuff out. And we felt like, well, that's not exactly what this is all about. And so I've hard coded in, manually excluded Rev and myself. And transparency, now it's on our GitHub. So you can see that. So the listeners who have boosted the most episodes all time, starting with Matthew D, 8 episodes. Matthew D is going to have to go back and figure out the one episode that he missed just to keep Shadrach out of the number one spot here, I think. God's Death is number 2. God's Death and Shadrach are tied for number 2 with 5 episodes each. And Wartime, coming in with 4 episodes, is in third place. So thank you, as always, to our ride or dies. And yeah, I think some of the people are starting to figure out how to get on this leaderboard. We're going to have to figure it out if everybody's tied for first place, how long the list should be. But I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
And so, I mean, so Shadrach and Matthew D have got, God's Death is just, he's a lot like Pies to me, you know, where he's in there, he's boosting. God's Death is not just consistently boosting our show, but he's consistently boosting a lot of shows. And so God's Death is just like, he's a participant in this value for value culture. And so he definitely deserves recognition just for that, just for the guy who's like, I'm listening and I'm pushing that value back. But Shadrach and Matthew D, so Matthew D has white paper soap. And as I say, every episode, I get my soap and some tallow balm from Matthew D, and I like it a lot. And he will sell you that stuff. He's got a website, white paper soap. Check it out. And Shadrach is doing he's doing a lot of stuff. But recently, he started doing a podcast with the Paznia Radio Network, and so they're doing like a monthly kind of news recap show. And this news recap is like more about this second realm concept where, you know, how do we exist in the second realm, Meshadel, this whole way of thinking around how do we build these parallel systems, start building them now, so that way when shit really hits the fan or if things really start to crumble, you're already in a good spot. You've already built up your connections and you're participating in the community. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, this second realm, Meshadel concept, you should definitely go listen to what Shadrach has to say with Rayo 2 over there on the Pazni Radio Network.
Hell yeah. All right, let's go. Let's go to the final leaderboard. Possibly our most important leaderboard. These are our biggest supporters of the show. Our biggest supporters with their one-time boosts. So these are the biggest single boosts ever sent to the show. And as I mentioned last time, you know, I'm thinking of these as, you know, because we're going to go back and read off your message that was sent with these, you know, huge boosts. This is a message that if you have something that you'd like us to bring up on every single episode, all you got to do is just get onto the leaderboard and we're going to read off your message every single time. And, you know, right now it's at the very end of the show, and maybe it won't always be at the end of the show. You know, we'll talk about different format structures and, you know, maybe we need to get your messages displayed more prominently. We'll see. But for right now, let's start at the top here. So biggest boost of all time is from episode 9, Sir Spencer, 42069. So 42,069 sats. And I know we already read it off, but I'm going to read it off again anyways. So this was from Sir Spencer, via Podcast Guru. Thanks for having me on. Hope to improve bowlafterbowl.com and continue to evolve alongside your local Bitcoiners.com site. Iron sharpens iron. I greatly value hearing what you guys are discovering on your value for value journey. Long live the value change. So get ready. I feel like you're going to be hearing that one for a long time. Thanks a lot for all the support, Spence. And it was a great conversation. We were so glad to have you on as well.
Yeah, and they've got, so they record every Tuesday. And so I listened to their most recent episode today. And yeah, they bring a show that is, they've got so much cool shit. Like they're, like I said, they record live. And so, like, if you listen live and you boost live, then there's like a bowling pin sound that goes off and then a disco ball that turns. And so they're really taking the possibilities of what you can do with the boost and what you can do with this value for value interaction and create cool gamification of it all. And it's the, if you only listen to the podcast to check that out, it's worth it. But beyond that, they're also putting out all kinds of really interesting news stories, a cool spin on everything, lots of cannabis culture, promoting the idea that this cannabis stuff is good and okay, you know, and kind of talking shit on the stupidity around a lot of what's going on in the country right now in regards to cannabis adoption or laws and all that. So it's a show that's definitely worth listening to.
All right. And still, and so in second and third place, previously first and second place, is Bitcoin is for Everyone, May 22nd, May 23rd, 2026. So the first one was 12,020 sats, and the second one on the same episode, episode 5, was 11,010 sats. So I'll read off the boosts from those. So the first one, join us at the largest Bitcoin-only conference on the West Coast, Bitcoin is for Everyone, May 22nd, May 23rd. Pizza Day weekend in Portland, Oregon. Bitcoinisforeveryone.com. Use discount code NosterInsider for 21% off. And their second boost on the same episode was the Portland Bitcoin group has meetups 6 times a month. Come check us out. So yeah, so these are another a couple of boosts that are going to be up here for a little while. I'm glad that there's still time. If you want to go to Bitcoin is for Everyone, this is a perfect time to start checking it out. We've got a few weeks left. And so head over to, I want to make sure I get the website right again, bitcoinisforeveryone.com and check them out.
Yeah, it's going to be a great conference. It's so hard for me to even like leave the homestead for even just like a day, you know, with all the irons in the fire that I've got over here. But if I could have some access and some freedom in my ability to travel, this would be on my list of a thing to go check out. It's you can just imagine some dude that runs 6 Bitcoin meetups a month putting on a conference. How badass is that conference going to be? You're going to get good vibes if you show up over there.
All right. Fourth place is Otis Bittmeyer, 10,420 sats back on episode 1. And let's read off his boost. So, I'm thankful for the Southwest Michigan meetup where like-minded humans gather together in downtown Benton Harbor on the third Thursday of every month for fellowship and meaningful conversations spanning many domains. I leave inspired to continue building the world I want to see. Join us if you're in the area. And thank you again to Otis Bittmeyer. Okay. And last on the list is We All Eat, with 10,020 sats, also episode 5. So 3 of our top 5 were all on episode 5. It's no wonder why they were in first place for so long on the other leaderboard. All right. And We All Eat's message is LFG, get out and go to your local meetup. Find a meetup when you travel. Can't wait to see you fellas at Lake Satoshi in a few months. Lake Satoshi is going to be another topic, I'm sure, that we're going to be talking about as that continues to get closer.
Lake Satoshi is like the pinnacle example of the regional meetup, in my opinion. It's such a killer event. Otis Bittmeyer is going to be there, no doubt. And, you know, selling his sound coffee and just hanging out. And, you know, We All Eat, of course, will be there. And it's these kinds of regional events are the opportunity for all of the meetups that you couldn't necessarily, it's a little outside your range, but you know, there's cool Bitcoiners over there. When there's a regional meetup, now you get to go meet those people. And as we were talking about tonight, once you start to meet those people, you never know if they're going to have some expertise, some intellectual capital, some experiential capital that you can gain access to. And maybe you can share something with them. And all of a sudden, the culture gets a whole lot stronger. There's a huge building of cultural capital through these regional meetups. And yeah, it's so great to see that the Michigan Bitcoin culture is here with the podcast strong. I mean, it makes sense since, you know, I'm really heavily participating in the Michigan culture, but it is a great one. You know, it's kind of one of the reasons why I love meetups so much is because the meetups here are so great. And so I really do appreciate all the folks in Michigan who are listening and boosting and coming to the meetups and making it what it is.
All right. Well, so Sean had to drop off. And so thank you again, Sean, for coming on. It was a great conversation. Really enjoyed learning more about the Niagara Falls, the Canadian side of Niagara Falls, learning about their meetup, hearing about his background. This is another good episode for the books. You got anything else, Rev, to close us out?
I think that, you know, I just feel we didn't talk about price at all tonight, and we don't talk about price often. But at this point in time, the price is trending upwards. And the way I operate with Bitcoin, they say that you shouldn't operate with your emotions. You should remove your emotion from the price. But for me, when the price starts going up, I start riding high, man. I start feeling good. And I think I think this is true of anyone who's paying attention to what's going on in Bitcoin. When the price goes up, you feel fucking good. You can't, you know, deny that. And I can feel it and I can see it everywhere that I look. And, you know, all this value for value interaction that we're getting, all of the excitement around the vibe coding, right now things are feeling good. And I just am so grateful that everyone is sharing that vibe, you know, so let's keep rolling with it.
Hell yeah, man. Vibes are high, and yeah, we'll keep the sats flowing.
Roll the outro.
Episode complete. If you run a Bitcoin meetup and want to talk about it here, reach out. Check the show notes for contact info, link to meetup organizer resources on GitHub, and more. Send us a boost of any size and advertise your next meetup. We'll read it out on the next episode. And remember, attend your local meetup or start your own. Local Bitcoiners are always just one meetup away.